How many of you ever just hear lyrics to a song and it brings back thoughts and it brings back memories and maybe things that God has brought you through or maybe things you're going through now, and it just connects and it hits home and it really draws your attention back to God and how He's working in and through every part and portion of your life. And I'm not preaching right now, but I just hope that each and every week that you are here with us or about your own business, each and every day that you're connecting somehow with God through worshiping, through reading His Word, or listening to some good worship music that draws your attention to Him, and that it continually puts your focus of your heart and your mind on our one true, reliable God. Let's pray this morning as we really get into the rest of this service. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this time that we can just be here and draw our attention to you. Father, I ask that your Spirit would move through this service, through the words that you're going to bring to me today, and through the message that is delivered. Not only through that, Lord, but through every portion of worship, through the music, through our giving back to you, and through connecting with your Word today. Father, as we get prepared to take up this offering, we ask also that you would help us to remember each and every day the provision you have given us. That no matter our times, our troubles, our struggles, Lord, you give us what we need. We thank you, Jesus, and from everything you provide to us, Lord, we give back to you today. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. We will be collecting offering. I kind of combined that prayer. I'm sorry. I'm used to more structure, and my wife usually helps with that. But Amanda is going to help us with announcements this morning.
Good morning.
So just a few announcements. First of all, it's great to be back this weekend. Pastor Jesse and myself were in Minnesota last weekend, so it's good to be back in Packer country. We were surrounded by a bunch of Viking fans. It was just, they of course asked us, "Are you Packer fans? Like, should we hang out with you?" We're like, yeah, we're Packer fans and we are for life, so take it or leave it. So we had a good time, and it's great to have the kids in here this morning, and I'm just always blessed when the kids join us in service because I love hearing them singing and worship and just no fear of just letting their worship out to God, and they probably weren't sure what to do with themselves because I know in kids' church they're jumping all over the place and like, woo! So it's fun to see the kids in here. So we just have a few announcements this morning. First of all, we are going to be planning some meals for Gary and Joan. Roxy was born on, what day was Roxy born? The 9th. And how is she doing? She's doing good? Okay. So just keep them in your prayers. We want to bless them as a church and do some meals for them. And I'm going to be talking to Joan today about dates. But I have a sign up because I was hoping to just pass this around. If you're interested or willing to do a meal for Gary and Joan and their family, just put your name and number on an email on this sheet. And either myself or Lacey will get in touch with you. And we're going to get a schedule. I'm going to get some meals going for them. So I'll be in touch with you guys about that. We have a Ladies' Day up at Camp Forest Springs, and this is on September 14th. It's $25, and sorry guys, this is just for the ladies. And so Ember is kind of organizing this one. She knows more of the details. So Ember, would you raise your hand if you're interested in this event? Ember is the one you want to talk to. I think ladies are talking about carpooling from here to there. I think registration starts at 8:30 that morning. So it is a day thing. You just go for the day. Yeah. Ladies, there's food. So I know he always talks to the guys about the men's conferences food, but we get food too for Ladies' Day. So we'd love to have you guys join us. So feel free to talk with Ember if you have any questions about that. And then lastly, the next backyard barbecue is September 10th at Jamie's home. Did I have the date right, Jamie? Is it the 10th? Okay, so we'll have more details. We'll probably have a food sign up going around next week for that. So Any questions, feel free to come and talk with me. One thing I was just going to put a plug in, stay tuned. I'm going to be giving some more information probably next week or the week after on life groups this fall. So we're working on a definite start date on that, but it's going to be Wednesday nights here at the church. So just kind of keep that in mind as you're planning your fall schedule, that life groups will be here at the church Wednesday nights. And then I'll have Pastor Jesse announce men's conference.
I'm gonna precede the men's conference announcement with I did defend our Packers fandom with saying that our Packers, you know, I guess that's what I'll call it. A fandom is second to our faith, where obviously our faith will not fail in Christ and neither in the Packers. So yes, we are green and gold loyal through and through. And why not? I mean, they're just good, so that helps. Men's conference. Guys, I'm going to probably drive this through our heads each and every week. We did not get the early bird registration done. And the other side note is, once we do get our group registered and other people decide to come, we can add them to the registration. So it's not a one-and-done thing. We have opportunity to keep adding. I believe we have 7 or 8 guys right now, which is awesome. I think that's getting pretty close to kind of the highest number we've had go down as a church. Guys, I love seeing the connection. I love seeing you guys get just excited about going and learning more, growing together. This isn't a kumbaya type thing, trust me. It's a lot of fun. We get to eat together. We get to do worship and hear amazing messages together. There's nothing to be scared of. It is for men through and through. So there's lots of meat. You can be guaranteed of that. There is competition, always competition, because we have to show off a little bit, and sometimes be humbled, which is okay. But we are going to be at $85. It is a Friday, September 23rd, and Saturday, September 24th. When I say Friday, I mean we try to leave here mid-afternoon, 3, 3:30, somewhere in there is when we try to leave here. So hopefully you can get through with your work day. You're not having to take vacation or sacrifice any of those things, hopefully, to be able to go down and take part of men's conference. This year, I cannot remember the first name of the speaker. Former NFL star, brother of Jared Cook, who was the Packers tight end last season. Jason Cook, thank you. Oh, it's right there. See, if I would turn around and look at our own announcement sheets, you guys are better informed than I am. So Jason Cook is going to be the keynote speaker. He is a former NFL star himself, and God really just called him into ministry, and he is just a powerful speaker. I've heard from the organizers of the event that they've been in communication with Jason, and they are just expecting an awesome and amazing time. Guys, don't discredit anything that can happen at men's conference. Just like youth camps, your kids come home from camp and they're excited. They feel God has called them to do something. They've reinforced some vision God has given them. Guys, it happens to us too. It's just a place where we can connect with each other, connect with God on a level that you don't get week in and week out here. So anyway, we've got that to look forward to. If you're interested in that, I got more questions. You can ask myself, John, Travis sitting in the back. Any of these guys have been there before. I know there's a few others as well that are willing to answer those questions. If finances are an issue, and you can't make it because of finances, and that's your only reason, I'm not letting that stop you from going. So talk to me, please. We don't want anyone to miss out on this opportunity. That's it for announcements. Normally, you would expect to come in and hear me say, all right, we're going to continue on in our series in Romans, because that's what we've been plowing through all summer. Literally all summer, we've been working our way through the book of Romans. And normally, we would be into Romans chapter 9 today, but we're not going there. I need you guys to know that I am willing to change my plans to hopefully share what I feel God is speaking. And if you know that, I hope that you can prayerfully trust and consider that the words God is bringing through me is meant for each and every one of us, to challenge us, to draw us closer to Him, and really to just continually to prepare our hearts for what He's doing. I honestly came in this morning, and my prayer is, God, I'm just an empty vessel. I need You to speak through me. I need You to deliver something through me that will connect with You. And I believe he's pulling something together. Amanda and myself both this morning are in agreement. So we want to talk about flexibility, being willing and able to accept and flow as God moves. And also to be willing to step out and serve God with the gifts He's given us. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning. And I hope this passage kind of starts to open your mind to some different things that maybe God has been speaking to you in your life. Maybe not necessarily recently. Maybe it's something in the past that you felt God saying, and maybe hopefully this will rekindle that in your life. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12. I do also want this message today to be good for all of our kids in here. So I'd encourage you to try to listen. I'm going to try to keep it fun. I'm going to tell you some stories about my own life, which I was a little bit unsure of, but I'll go there. Don't worry. It's not scary or weird, but we'll go there. I'm going to tell you some testimony as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share that same Spirit. Verse 14, yes, the body has many parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not a part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. How strange a body would it be if it had only one part? Kids, you can use your imaginations. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require that special care. So God has put the body together just that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. I'm going to stop right there for a moment. Have you ever heard of, I don't know you all well enough, maybe you've experienced this, but somebody that has maybe hurt their foot in an accident, maybe they lose a big toe or something, right? You think of that, just think of that for a second. Your big toe, as small as it is very vital to your balance, right? Have you thought of that? When you stand in a place and you kind of are gaining your balance, you can feel in your feet what kind of catches most of your weight. It's your big toes and your heels. I'm speaking now because I'm doing it, but anyway. I'll stand up. Oh, okay, I'm kidding. You don't have to. I think you know what I'm saying, is that even though it's just a small and seemingly, maybe at times odd-looking, I don't know, it's a part of your body, but you don't often recognize the value of it. or how critical it is to everyday life. But if you were to experience some sort of an injury or some sort of an accident, and you lose that portion, now all of a sudden you become vitally aware of how important it was. And yes, I am just talking about a big toe at the moment, but I'm talking on a grander scheme of things. As this passage is really, it's showing us a picture of the body and how we can obviously see our bodies and know what there is. And we begin to understand as he's talking about the church in the picture of a body, how when he says one part is no more valuable than another, and you can say to the foot, I don't need you, in the hand, you know, I read the text, so I think we're all familiar with where we're on that, but how every part is vital. And then I look at our church and I begin to understand with more clarity how, you know, as roles begin to kind of transfer from kind of the original way it was, with myself and Amanda being more of the vital people and making things happen and doing everything we can to be serving and to make ministry work, to people volunteering and taking on roles and realizing their gifts and their skills. And pretty soon, that foundation of ministry is growing much wider. And you know there's strength in that width, right? If you think of a pyramid, and I'm not by any means relating a pyramid to the structure of this church, but I want you to look at the picture, how the base is wide, right? And it's there to support everything that is built on top of it. And in the picture of a church, if you have a wide base of people that are there to serve, and they understand that no matter what role they serve within the church or within the community, it is vital to the success of the body. Really, that's what this passage is talking about. And really, hopefully the challenge I can give to you this morning is that at some point in your life, you've felt something that says, you know, I think this would be a good idea. I mean, for me, it was at some point in high school, I was kind of like, you know, I would like to really maybe help with youth. You know, and my mindset was, I want to help with youth and hopefully help them to understand that there are things that I've made mistakes in that they can avoid. You know, I think that was initially my call, I will say it, maybe it was my call to ministry. God just making me aware enough of my own failing and my own shortcomings to say, I want to help anyone else avoid those pitfalls if I can. I really was kind of debating on sharing much of my testimony this morning, but I feel there is enough, and with the kids in here, maybe I should. Because you guys, a lot of you have been to camp, a lot of you have been doing some stuff and becoming more aware of how God can use you. Even though you're young, even though you might not feel strong or might not feel the smartest, God has a way to use you. Let me transition that. Maybe you're older. Maybe you're wiser but not as strong. Maybe you're just not sure how you should be used. But God can use you as well. For myself and for Amanda, I won't share on her behalf, but we both, at a younger age, had the call to ministry to work with youth. And I've been a welder now half of my life. I'm 34 years old. I've been welding for 16 or 17 years. I still do full-time outside of here. You guys, most of you know that. And I, you know, at some point in our lives, the call to ministry got stronger. And let me share something with you. Sometimes, kids especially, hear this out. Sometimes if we know God is calling us to do something, and we take it upon ourselves to just go and do what we want, be ready, because God will get your attention. And it's not always going to be fun. It's not always going to be somebody that just says, hey, you know, I think God's going to do this through you. And for me, I don't know if I think I've shared this before, but for me, it was my diabetes caught up with me. I've been a diabetic since I was 4 years old. So I got to do some reverse math. I can do this off of my kids. 9 years ago, I woke up the day after Christmas and I couldn't see anything out of my left eye. I was blind in my left eye. And now the welding thing kind of comes into perspective a little bit more. I'm a welder. A welder requires vision and depth perception and all of those things that are pretty vital to have two working eyes. Okay? Now, I had already had that call to ministry. We were already working with youth a little bit at that point. But at that moment rocked me to the core. And I hope that some of our younger kids in here can understand that if you have a call to seriously explore it. And I'm not saying that God did that to me or that that series of events in my life was God, you know, like striking me with lightning. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that's how the circumstances and choices of my life played out. But what it did is it refocused my call back onto God and off of me. And a lot of times what happens in our lives, it doesn't matter how old you are. If we get so locked into who we are and what we can do and how we can provide for our families and how we can be effective wherever it is we're in life, and we start to pull away from trusting God in everything. That's a lot of times when we begin to experience things that we don't understand. But if we diligently follow God, and if we're willing to take steps of faith when He is calling us to, you will never go without what you need. Sometimes that's hard to hear, and sometimes when we hear that, we think what we want. We will never go without what we want. That's not true. Because there's a lot of times, trust me, my wife could probably tell you right now some things that I want that I, you know, because I'm pretty vocal about it at home. I'd let you stand up and tell it because she would. But, okay, so we have things in life that we want. We have desires. God doesn't tell us that He'll give us our desires. He tells us He'll give us what we need. So that doesn't mean that life will go on and you will be struggle-free and that you won't have complications. But what it does mean that if you're following God, that you will have what you need. Scripture tells us that even the sparrow who doesn't plant seeds nor sow always has food to eat. How much more does our God care for us than He does for His birds? Getting back to the testimony, that morning when I woke up and I wasn't like pitch black blind in my eye. I could see, have you ever watched like National Geographic and you see a squid and it squirts its ink and it just kind of goes this black blob and you can kind of see through it, but not really? That's what it was. That's what my eye was. So I couldn't see anything other than this like floating mass of black. But obviously I knew it wasn't good. That was the day after Christmas 9 years ago. And I that one rocked me to the core so much to know that maybe now I can't trust my own abilities to provide for my family. At that point we had two boys. So I'm married with a family, not knowing how I'm going to provide for my family. I go through processes and procedures and surgeries. And about a year later, I was blessed to be it didn't take a full year, but a year later, I was back to 20/20 in vision, both eyes. I could credit that to the doctors. I could credit that to medical advancement. But the crazy thing about that is, as I sat there in the office, I asked the doctor. She was this little British woman, and she had that accent, the British English accent. I remember that. But she was one of the top retinal surgeons around. And I got lucky by that. We happened to go to Rochester, Minnesota. That's where my sister lived. We were on our way there anyway. And God blessed me by putting her in our path. She's the one who did the surgery. But I asked her, I said, what are the chances I'm going to get my sight back? She says, well, you'll probably get some of it back, but I don't know how much. So when you're sitting there and you're blind and you, you're not sure what it's going to look like in 3 or 6 months. You really begin to turn your focus off of yourself and your abilities, and you might really, hopefully this is what happens, hopefully you turn yourself to God. And you realize in that moment that He is your only resource that you can trust. Like I said, about a year after that, I was back working full-time. I was doing... I was back to welding. I had 20/20 vision again. And I give the credit to God. Because the surgeon did her work. But God finished the process. They told me that I might have a limited amount of peripheral vision because of all of the laser work that they did around the outside of my eye. I can almost see out that window, which if you're standing here, that's pretty good. I can see out that one. So my peripheral vision is nearly perfect. I have absolutely no... As I'm standing here, I'm looking around trying to see details, you know, and I don't see issues. And I give credit to God for doing that in my life. Through that whole process of going blind, that's when Amanda and I decided, you know what, maybe we really need to give this whole ministry thing a real go. And I started doing some classes and going to college online. And I don't want to take all day with this, but I want us to be open to the call of God on our life. That was the process of the journey that God has taken us on, that's taken us through 3 or 4 years in youth ministry and being main youth leaders to planting this church and being lead pastors and executive assistants or whatever you really want to give her a title. I don't know. She's the main one. I just stand here. This crazy ride God has taken us on, and it was because of us being willing to allow God to work. Being willing to step out in faith and say, God, I don't know where you're taking me, but I trust you. You know what? Sometimes that's the hardest decision we can ever make. Is to say, you know what? I know I can do this in my life. I know I can control this in my life, but I believe that you, God, have something much grander, much greater, much more effective in mind. And if we trust Him with our life in that fashion, you will be blown away. That's not even a you might, that is a you will be blown away. I can say that with 100% assurance. That if you are willing to allow God to work in your life and to work through you in the way that only He can, you will see things unfold before you, plans that just happen to kind of roll out in front of you. And as we continue to walk with Him and to walk through faith, He will take us to greater heights and to, you know, further distances and to more and more effective ways of serving him than we could ever imagine or dream of. Getting back into our scripture a little bit this morning as we close, I hope to challenge each and every one of you. This morning, just sitting out at the table, you might have heard me talking with Amanda and Gina and Jamie. There's a dream brewing among the church of how they can do something in the community to raise awareness for something. And to impact not just the community, but ministries that are serving in greater ways. So to see this mindset and this body of believers being willing to begin to step out in faith and see what God can do blows me away. It's awesome. Because I know what my own experience and what my family's experience of doing that and seeing what God is willing to do has done. Now, trust me, I'm not saying that if you step out in faith that God's going to throw you into ministry and you're going to, you know, be a pastor. If it happens, great, amen. I'm not saying that's going to happen. Don't worry. What I am saying is that God has a call on each and every one of your life. Okay? Seriously, each and every one of you. That's to our youngest kids sitting in the back. All the way to our oldest here. Every day that we wake up and we have breath in our lungs and the ability to speak, God has a call on your life. I would highly encourage you to pray, to ask God to give you a vision, to give you a dream of what that looks like and what it is your life is meant to be. The more that we step out in faith and serve in the capacity that God has given us, the stronger the church becomes, the more effective the church becomes. I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about the big church. Okay, that means us. That means the First Baptist. That means every church you can name in town becomes more effective when we can more effectively function in the gifts God has called us to. We each and every one of us represent Christ to those who don't know him. That's something we need to remember. It doesn't matter, like the scripture tells us, every part of the body is vital to the body. In the church, it means that the people who pick up the mail on Monday, to the people who sweep the floors, to myself who is preaching most of the time, to our coffee bar people, to our nursery workers, to our kids ministry people, to the worship team, everyone is vitally important. To our greeters, to everyone who attends, who helps to warmly welcome every person that walks in the door, to make sure that kids aren't getting run over in the parking lot. Most of them are usually mine trying to make that happen, but it's all vital. My challenge this morning is that you would be praying about what God might be bringing over the horizon for you. Just this past month, I'm shutting down. I promise. We've had people, you know, send kids off to the Marines, and people make moves from. My parents moved from a town not that far away, but they've lived there for 2 decades. Change happening. And God is working in and through it, and he's prepared each and every one of us for everything that he is doing in us. And even though we might not believe that we have what it takes to do what God has called us, trust me, if he has called you to it, he will bring you through it. And if he's called you, he will equip you. Okay, hear that out. Don't ever stop doing something that God has called you to because you feel you're not ready. That is discrediting God, and that is discrediting his ability to do the miraculous and the amazing through you. I want to pray this morning to close service. And I wasn't planning on doing this, but I will. I will stay up front after service. And if you have something on your heart that you felt God is leading you to and you want prayer for that, I would ask that you would come forward. I'm not going to be on the microphone. I'm not going to be, you know, overly boisterous or crazy or anything like that. But we want to pray with you. I want to see God do the miraculous through you. If we look at the book of Acts, you continue to see the church growing and multiplying by thousands at a time because those people were willing to step out in faith and to pray and believe that God would touch them, that he would heal them, that he would lead those people. That's when the church began. I'm going to close in word of prayer right now. Like I said, if you want prayer, if you've got something that's been on your heart, on your mind, I would ask you to come forward. Amanda and myself will be up here to pray with you if you would like. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this time and this time that we could just reflect on what it is that you have created the church to be. Jesus, with you as our head and our leader, Lord, and us being the body that functions and does your work here on earth, I just pray and ask that you would help us to be aware of every single thing that you've created us to do. That we would boldly accept our responsibility as your followers, as your brothers and sisters, Jesus. To step out in faith and to follow you and see where you will take us. We thank you, Jesus, that your promise is that you will work out everything for our good, for those who love and follow you. We praise your holy name, Jesus. Amen. Thank you for coming out today.
This is what it sounds like. This is what it looks like. This is what it feels like. When the church is alive.